number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio at 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, our podcast is uploaded moments after the show goes off the air in case you want to go back and check out anything you might have missed along the way. Our Periscope right now is live, the video feed on our Facebook and Twitter accounts. You can go and check that out. And, of course, you can download the Fan Run Radio app as well as check out fanrunradio.com, which has some great stuff on it right now. You can go and check out the most recent article, which is titled Cayman Marley, Vols Work Overtime to Add the Number 2 Athlete in the Country. That is a great piece right there if you want to go and find out a little bit more about Tennessee's most recent recruit. Again, the 4-star athlete, Cayman Marley. Go and check that out on fanrunradio.com. We also have a tremendous breakdown, if I do say so myself, of Coach Doug's first game with the University of Tennessee last night. Dropped a filthy 50 burger on the UCLA Bruins. So if you would like to go see what Doug's is doing over there at Tennessee, which, by the way, did you guys see Jeremy Pruitt tweet at Coach Doug's?
I did.
That was maybe the one thing I never thought I was going to see, but then there it was.
Tennessee is killing it with the marketing surrounding this thing. I was looking at some of like the Twitch stream numbers, and some of his games at Texas Tech had, you know, a couple thousand, 2,000-3,000, you know, up to maybe 10,000 watching. His debut for Tennessee last night got up to over 40,000 people watching it.
As I got a theory. I got a theory about it, but I'm gonna tell you guys a little bit later. I got a theory about what's going on, but I mean, it is so much fun. Is there a game tonight?
I don't know. I feel like there might be.
Hey,
I've enjoyed watching them. I liked watching it last night.
Yeah, I tuned in for the first time, obviously, 2 days ago, you know, when he was picking Tennessee, and then it's been fun to watch ever since. But so we'll obviously keep figuring out what that's going to be. But Tennessee whooped UCLA last night in that season debut.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Vanderbilt has hired an athletic director.
Okay.
Candace Lee has been named Vanderbilt's athletic director. She has been serving on an interim basis since February. She is Vanderbilt's first female athletic director, the first African-American woman to head an SEC program, and one of five women currently leading a Power 5 program.
She is also a former student-athlete at Vanderbilt, is the interim vice chancellor for athletics and university affairs, and she was, obviously, the interim athletic director before now, I guess, getting the head honcho position. Congratulations, Candace Lee. I don't know much about her previous to this story, but...
Me either.
Vanderbilt finds her athletic director.
Just want to throw that out there.
No, sure. I do appreciate that. That is...
I don't really have anything else to add to it.
It's okay. Anybody have a big take on Candace Lee?
I don't think so.
All right, congratulations,
Good
Vanderbilt.
Good for her.
You found your athletic director.
Breaking news, though.
Say that again? Oh, my God. More breaking news.
Yep. Breaking news here in the community.
Huh?
Here in Knoxville. This was posted by WVLT. The Knoxville Police Department have said that a black bear has been spotted in North Knoxville.
Whoa.
Where?
Oh.
I want to go find
North Knoxville.
Like, can I get more details? I want to go find it.
Charlie, no.
We're on Bear Watch.
Charlie.
Blitz Bear Watch. 2020.
We're always on Bear Watch.
The black bear was spotted on Renock Road near Broadway this morning around
exactly
9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Officers were advised a large black bear was seen on Renock Road. Units have been patrolling the area, and the bear was last seen going into some woods in the area.
Oh, you think it's gone?
On Twitter, if you see a bear, steer clear of it and don't follow it for any reason, Charlie.
Has anyone heard from our bear this morning? Has he gone off the deep end?
You remember when there was a bear on campus a couple years ago?
Yes.
And they had to keep being
yes.
Like, guys, stop trying to get close to the bear. It's a bear. You can't just try to play with the bear.
I remember this so vividly. It was just such a series of nonstop texts. The bear is here. Now the bear is here. Please evacuate the area. Please do not surround the bear. Please leave. Nobody was following directions.
I also remember about a year ago, one Rick Butler said he could outrun a black bear.
No. I said I could outrun a baby bear if my life depended on it. A baby bear. And if the baby bear had started from a tree and I had started from a good 10-yard head start.
I'll give you that.
Thank you. Wow. It's taken this long, but I finally
and
have
look
one
who's,
supporter.
Look who's on your side.
My best friend,
what is that supposed
Charlie.
To mean, Brandon?
My
I'm just
friend.
Saying, sometimes you don't think things all the way through, Charlie.
That's inaccurate.
Is it?
Yes.
I think Tuesday night says differently.
I'm a man of principle, okay? Tuesday night had to happen.
Principle.
It's principle. It's
I
like,
agree.
It's like,
this,
yeah.
But this
the
is the guy.
Of things.
This is the guy that
that's
agrees
fine,
that
fine.
You can outrun a bear.
That's fine.
You can't.
You still have a supporter.
Outrun a bear or a cub. You can't do it. Remember we watched those videos of the cubs? You can't do that.
I do remember this. I do remember we looked up a lot of stories on how fast bears could run.
How fast do they run?
Very fast.
But nobody thought that I could run very fast. Nobody thought.
Guys, nobody can outrun a black bear.
No, well, I'm not saying a black bear. It would eat me.
Could
it
I
would eat me very fast.
Could I outrun you if I had a 10-yard start and you started in a tree?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
No.
A 10-yard head start and you start in a tree?
I want to do this. I think this could be fun.
Sounds
like a good challenge. I'll put my belt on the line.
I'll take off the flops and put on some shoes for a day.
The flops.
A black bear moves in a rhythmic, sure-footed way and can run up to speeds of 25 to 30 miles per hour.
25 to 30, Charlie.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, how far is safety?
We're saying
this,
a baby bear.
25
to 30 yards.
Yeah.
And you already start 10 yards ahead, and you just got to get 35 yards before that bear catches
you? I would say, you know, the tree that the baby bear is in is 35 yards away from your vehicle. So you're running about 25 yards. You just got to get there. You have
yes.
your, you know.
Yeah, Rick's
I think
fine.
I can. Yeah, I think I could get my car from there. A baby bear. We're not talking about
Rick's
a black bear.
There.
It's gonna murder me. It's gonna maul me. But a baby bear, I think I could do it. Stand by. So, is Tennessee a top 10 team? Is that a question? Was that a good transition? Either?
No.
That was a great transition. Rick.
Thank you.
See, again. Again, with the agreeance. So top 10, huh?
Top 10.
Well, what do they say?
Feels good. So here's what NBC Sports says. And again, this is one of their way too early preseason top 25 rankings. Do you want to know about Tennessee first, or do you want to know the other top 10?
Tennessee.
Okay.
I don't really care about the others.
So, here's a little bit about what they say. Last season, one of the biggest issues with Tennessee was its lack of firepower on the perimeter. Brandon, would you say that is true or false?
I would say that is a big understatement.
Yeah. It says this year they'll be adding 5-star guards Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer to Josiah Jordan James and Santiago Vescovi. They'll have weapons, and that's before you add in John Fulkerson, who was one of the best bigs in the SEC down the stretch of the season. Eve Pons will be the best defender in college basketball. Wow, that's a statement right there.
I mean,
if
not...
you're the reigning SEC, you know, defender or SEC defender of the year, I'd say you got a pretty good chance for national next year. And then if Vescovi can handle full-time point guard duties, better with an offseason under his belt, the Vols are going to compete for an SEC title.
I like it.
Here's
I
what
like it a lot.
The roster looks like. And I'm happy that somebody finally put kind of the roster looking like this, because I think this is a very easy way to put it or to look at it. So let's talk about these a little bit. So gone from the team last year that we know of right now, or actually just gone from last year, Lamonte Turner and Jordan Bowden. Coming back on the team, you have John Fulkerson, Santiago Vescovi, Josiah Jordan James, Olivier Kamwa, Drew Pember. We're waiting and see on Eve Pons. New faces will be Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, Corey Walker, Victor Bailey, and EJ Anasicki. And then projected starters listed from NBC right here: Vescovi, Jordan James, Johnson, Pons, Fulkerson.
Pretty solid.
Pretty solid. I want Eve Pons back so bad.
I don't know.
We like, need him. Bad.
Yeah, we do need. I think we do too, man. I think you need Pons.
I'm really comfortable with our guard situation right now.
Well,
I know we're going to have growing pains.
You've got a lot of, I wouldn't say unknowns, but you've got some question marks. Can Santiago Vescovi, can he limit the turnovers? Can he handle the ball? Turnovers, he had a problem with turnovers a little bit last year.
Sure.
And he needs to become a little bit more of a consistent scorer. Same with Josiah Jordan James, and I thought he got better toward the end of the season last year.
Absolutely.
After he came back with his injury. I think he needs to become more a more consistent scorer. Pons and Fulkerson, I feel good about.
Yeah.
And then Keon Johnson, I mean, we'll see.
Did you mention Kamwa just then? What do you think about him? Because I know he was a guy that you especially were just waiting to break out for last year.
I want him to be good.
I know.
I want him to be good. And Barnes has heaped praise on him.
And so have the other guys too. Like the guys who had left previously. He's just one of those guys that's always talked about as one of the hardest workers in the room. Just a tremendous potential that nobody knows about.
Kamwa is just such a raw he was such a raw guy last year, and he just has every tool out there to just be so close to breaking through. If that can just be developed a little bit more, if he has a good, strong off season, hopefully the virus doesn't affect his development too much, because he's just so close to breaking through and being a really reliable, I mean, just solid, you know, four or five.
And I mean, you've seen it a lot with these guys that Barnes brings in. I mean, it takes him a little bit to start to see some development and actually have it pay off.
Let me ask you a question. With a guy like Kamwa, do you think he is in trouble of being another kind of just mediocre or disappointing season away from ending up kind of a Jalen Johnson role on the team? Or do you think that because of his position, he's going to automatically get included in the games enough to contribute and to have an impact?
He's going to play. I mean, he's going to have to. One name I don't see on here is Plavsic. Why do they not have Plavsic on here? Am I missing something? Did I miss something?
No.
Are you sure?
Did I miss something? Charlie, Chance, did we all miss? I don't think we did.
How do they forget Plavsic?
Yeah, he's 9 feet tall. Did you miss him?
I mean, like, Kamwa and Plavsic are going to play. Just because Pons and Fulkerson can't play the whole game. Yeah. They got to sub out.
And
sub
especially
out those
if
guys.
Pons does leave.
Yeah.
Then you're going to be relying on Kamwa, I think.
I mean, you've also got Anasicki, who is more than likely going to be playing in the post.
I think Euros can figure some stuff out.
Is he still on the team? That's what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, he's still on the team.
Are you sure? He's not on this list?
He needs to figure out how to rebound. And I mean,
not
he had
foul 10 times
he actually,
every
like, he showed, oh minute. Goodness. He showed he a nice so little repertoire last year of different post moves. It was just his ability.
He was so Did frustrating.
No, I would say he actually showed that he has a pretty solid repertoire of post moves. It was just his ability to finish.
Dude, he scored.
He can't finish.
I think he shot the ball like three times a game for the most part. Like, unless he got two hook shots in a layup.
Well, I see what I see what Charlie's saying.
I'm not saying that he was scoring, because he didn't have the ability to finish at all. He was weak. His legs weren't strong enough. But just his ability to get the ball with his back to the basket in the low block. And hit a defender with a pretty solid post move to give him that open look. He actually showed his ability that he had, you know, several different moves he could go to create space and get that look. The problem was once he got the look, he wasn't a good finisher. I mean, so you could if he improves that alone, you could see him take a pretty decent step into being somebody that you can count on to give you some quality minutes off the bench.
Maybe I'm not remembering maybe I'm not remembering it perfectly from the end of last season, but it's something tells me that, like, I feel like I really wanted him to be more physical down low. I mean, it just felt like when you are a literal redwood tree down there, then use that.
He has a lot to figure out.
And I always
don't get me
felt
wrong.
Like, sure. And I always felt like, man, it just, not that he was looking soft, because I don't know. If you're on the basketball court in the SEC, I don't think you're soft. I think you're doing what you're doing. But I really felt like times where I was like, you are the biggest person on the court. You are looking over everybody. You are looking at the bald spot on everybody else's head on the whole court. Use that. Like, use a little bit more dominance. Push some people. I don't know. But not in the way of just drawing stupid fouls and then, you know, ending up with 4 fouls and 2 points in the game. But I don't know. Just use a little bit more.
I mean, aggression. There were a lot of times where it was like, man, you were better for this team when you were ineligible than what you're doing right now.
Oh my God!
According to this list, uh-huh. Tennessee is the highest ranked SEC team.
Well, another big thing that happened in the NCAA is that they delayed the potential one-time immediate eligibility waiver for transfers. So now you're going to have a huge offseason when it comes to, is Oliver Saar, the star from Wake Forest that transferred to Kentucky, going to be eligible or not? Because that, I think, determines which team is better out of Tennessee and Kentucky, is whether Saar is able to play for Kentucky.
Here is the top 10 real quick. Would you rather go from 10 to 1? 1 or 10? I guess we've already spoiled 10.
10 to 1.
I agree. 10, the Tennessee Volunteers. Number 9 is Iowa. Number 8 is Duke.
Yeah.
Number 7 is Texas Tech. Yeah. Wreck 'em. Number 6 is Kansas. Number 5, Mississippi.
Hold on. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay.
I thought Kansas was getting beheaded. Well, a few weeks ago, we talked about how Kansas was going to be beheaded.
Yep. I saw an update on that story earlier about how it was something weird about that case.
How it was only going to be a slap on the wrist. Yeah, probably.
Literally, no. I mean, none of this is – nothing is talking about this. You know, talking about assuming if Bill Self plays small ball again. Not if, Bill Self does the right thing and tells the truth in a court of law. How about that? I told Phil last week when that happened, man. I was like, if nothing really happens with this, like if this just, I don't know, just putters out, what do you do at the NCAA? So Kansas at 6, Michigan State 5, Virginia 4, Baylor 3, Gonzaga 2, and number 1, Villanova. That right there. Wow, Villanova loses nobody from their team last year. What a
Holy
blessing.
Holy cow. And they've really came on strong in the second half of the year.
They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 with the potential of 9 players all just returning to their team.
Well, we're way over on needing a break. But real quick before we go, Mac McClung, you know, the guy that we had our eye on?
Yeah.
Like last week or so? He has announced his top 7, and we are not on it. Memphis, USC, Wake Forest, Brigham Young, Arkansas, Texas Tech, Auburn, Memphis. Did I say 7 already? I don't know. It's flashing through.
The fact that we weren't Brigham on his Young. Top 7 makes me think that we didn't even really give him a serious chance. It means that we knew we weren't going to be able to open up that roster spot.
Makes me think that E. Ponce is coming back. More at the Blitz after this.
I said a hip hop, the hippie to the hip, hip hop, you don't stop the rocket to the bang bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test. I'm rapping.
All right, back here on the Blitz. And told you in the first hour, which, by the way, in case you missed this conversation, you can go back and check it out on the podcast. We were talking about in the first hour how the NCAA did vote to allow the schools the option to hold voluntary workouts for football and basketball. Brandon, one school just made big news in regards to that story. What is that whole story about?
Wyoming announced that it will be welcoming back student athletes on June 1st. So they are the first school to announce. This is what Director of Athletics Tom Berman said. Our first priority is the health and well-being of our student-athletes, our campus community, and the surrounding area. We have done a deep dive into all options available, including quarantining and testing, and we feel good about our plan going forward. With quarantining and testing, we believe there will be limited risk to our community, campus, and staff and student-athletes.
What are they in Laramie?
Yeah, Laramie, Wyoming. It's not a great town. I've been there.
I feel like they're...
Have you really?
Wait, yeah. What? Were you in Laramie?
Yeah, I was doing some things.
I got more questions when we go to break, but yeah, I feel like the coronavirus hasn't hit Laramie too hard, I would assume.
So Wyoming is the first school to just say, all right, we're doing it, June 1st.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to think that... You think we get another school come out today and say it?
Probably. I mean...
It's like a domino effect. You get one, you get a lot. Nobody wants to be the first, but everyone wants to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's true, right? It's the old concept. I don't know if you guys felt this way, but like back in high school when you were taking a test, right? You never wanted to be kind of the first person to turn in your test, right? Because it you know, I always got this impression that the whole class would just think I rush through it, I'm doing whatever. But once one person would turn in the test, then you would have like a slew of people. And I don't know why it always happened, and I was a slow test taker myself, but I would always see like 9 people go up right after the first one and all turn in their test. And there's something really is to the domino effect theory, right? That it just takes that one school to go ahead and say, all right, hey, the NCAA said yesterday, we're not going to waste any time. We're now talking to our students. We're talking to these student athletes. We're trying to figure it out and get them back on campus. And I think that you see a lot of schools go ahead and do that now. The question that I wanted to ask you guys, though, was that earlier this week, we talked about a report that came out that said that all 13 SEC athletic directors were in agreement about the June 1st return date, except for one. And that one was our own Philip Fulmer. And I think that we were in fair agreement on the show here that, you know, hey, no big deal and kind of stepping up and you know, proposing at least a later date and just kind of figure something out. Like nobody from Tennessee or certainly not Fulmer was saying, hey, I'm skeptical about the season. He was just saying, hey, you know, maybe we should think about pushing it back. So my question to you guys now is that after that report came out, after knowing that the NCAA approved June 1st, and after seeing now that one school has done it, do you think that if all 13 schools in the SEC open back on June 1st, that Tennessee will change from their June 14th at least proposal or idea and they'll let students back on a little bit earlier?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's hard to say. I do think... I don't know. I could see Philip Fulmer caving. I could see him backing down from his...
You know what? I can see this. I can see maybe not caving all the way, but maybe just saying like, all right, well, we're going to start on June 7th. You know, play a little bit of both, best of both worlds. Because I think, you know, you don't really lose that much of an advantage from the SEC, but I don't know how much they care about, you know, the public seeing this. And just saying, well, you were saying, you know, June 14th, but now you're just going to, you know, now you're going to go right back June 1st. I don't know if the public cares about that. I don't really personally, but I don't know if that's something that they're concerned about. I can see that maybe being an issue, you know, of them just being like, well, at the sake of everything going on, we don't really want to look like we're going back on our word if we, you know, felt like we've already said this. So I can see maybe they just say, all right, well, we're just going to wait an extra week. But I don't know. I think that is interesting now that we're in this position.
Well, now with the NCAA going ahead and giving the go-ahead for June 1st, with the rest of the SEC on board with June 1st, if everyone else is coming back June 1st, I feel like Fulmer would be like, all right, you know what? Whatever. We'll go with it. It's obviously like it's okay. Everyone else is doing it. You know, I thought that June 14th would be better, but June 1st is okay too.
Sure. And I think it's definitely going to be interesting to see where it goes, but... You know, that's just kind of the position you're at, I guess, when these athletic directors came together and they did have this conversation. But I do think that, you know, Fulmer saying this, he had to have known, you know, that, hey, I still feel like June 1st is a likely date. So I don't think that he made that statement originally just having no idea that, you know, that something would happen in June. So I got to think that they are prepared for what's ever about to come. But one way or another, I'm excited that, you know, we do have one school officially coming out and saying that they are going to resume on June 1st. I'm excited that other SEC schools are about to get things going. I'm excited that Tennessee is going to follow either that day or very quickly after.
Yeah.
Do you think you lose any advantage by starting after? Significant advantage?
No, I think it's very small.
Me neither.
Very small.
Because I do think that maybe a lot of those initial workouts are still kind of socially distanced things. Maybe you have workouts where, you know, each, just like your normal gym, right? If you went to work out anytime, right? Which Chance, you were telling us a good bit about yesterday. If you went to work out anytime, I don't think you could, you know, you and I could do a bench press machine right next to each other. I think you would probably have to leave one in the middle. I would have to imagine those are similar guidelines to what these football programs are going to go through. So yeah. I don't really think you're missing out on any significant advantage if you're just maybe a week behind.
Well, they're going to take the actions like it, you know, the gym, they're spacing out equipment more. Everybody has to wear the mask. And that's probably what they'll do whenever the players have to come back and actually get into their workout programs. Like, this is going to be kind of a normalcy. And even though some people, you know, think freaking out, whatever, this is just how it's going to be from here on out. I don't know if, at least for the next 6 months, if we'll – people will be wearing masks at least for like 6 to 7 months, I believe. Like, it's going to be always when you go to the grocery store, to the retail, and things like that, to the gym. And it's just to get out of this. But I think you're going to see the same thing with student-athletes. But, I mean, they're going to be allowed to play, but they're going to put these steps in place. Like, sure, I think Phil Fulmer, if everybody's coming back, Tennessee's going to come back too. It's going to be a collective. For the SEC, it's a little bit more structured, so I think it's going to be a collective agreement. Like, it's not going to be one school said we're – I mean, I know Arkansas came out and said that, but, like, one sure. school said we're playing. It's not going to be like that. It's going to be Greg Sankey and all the ADs, and it's going to be a collective agreement.
Sure, and I totally see what you're saying. And I think that, you know, some of the stuff that we're getting, absolutely, is just kind of – you know, these schools coming out with their reports and saying plans. Like, ultimately, the story that we had talked about earlier with Ohio State, you know, is not a report. It's just a plan, right? So these schools are planning for it. But I do think that with some of the more official things that come out, like from the NCAA or like with Wyoming, it is the steps to it is the steps on the road to college football. And again, we don't know exactly how many steps there'll be, or we don't know exactly what those will look like. But I do think that we know that we're on that road. We can tell that, you know, certain people are making the decisions to bring us that sport. I definitely think that.
What I've gathered from this story.
Uh-huh.
And what you should too. Don't go to Laramie, Wyoming.
Why?
It's a terrible town.
I want to go to Laramie now.
No,
I'm still
don't.
Confused on why you went. And what's secretive about it?
There's nothing secretive about it. I was working out there. I was working with my grandfather. We were painting out west. And we stayed. We were driving back home from Seattle. And
at what point in your life were you just out west painting with your father?
Grandfather. What does it? I mean, it's been several years ago.
Why awesome. Couldn't you paint in the southeast?
What the places we were painting were out west. I mean, yeah. What do you want?
Yeah. How do you like? So the people out west that hired you, why they choose to hire somebody from
Charlie? It's called contract work, sir.
I understand how it works, Chance, but there are a lot of contractors closer to.
Those were the ones that were due.
Is because their work probably spoke for itself, and they were good at their job.
Either way, we were making our way back from Seattle, and we had went down to Utah. It was nice, and then we were coming home, driving across the state of Wyoming.
Wyoming.
It was getting close to time to stop for the night.
Uh-huh.
And where do we stop? Laramie, Wyoming.
Boom.
Did you have any good food in Laramie?
No. Everything was closed. All the hotels were booked. Except for a travel in. What's a travel in, you might ask? Your guess is as good as mine. It was the worst hotel I have ever stayed in my life. I did not sleep under the covers. I didn't take a shower, nothing. It was the worst experience of my life. That is why I don't like Laramie, Wyoming.
Caught me slipping once, okay, so what? Someone hit your block up, I tell you if it was us. Man, a house in Rosewood, it too plush. Say my day's a number, but I keep waking up.
All right, so you know said, you see my text, baby, Laramie? That's the place, Laramie, Wyoming?
Yeah.
You said you've been there. So this is a conversation we were slightly having in the break just now, and I didn't really have much else to talk about today. So let me ask you guys this. What is the coolest, and if you can think of one, like in the terms of Laredo or Laramie, Wyoming, what is some of the most boring places that you've ever traveled to?
Let me think.
I've never really done the whole northeast part of the whole United States.
Jackson Center, Ohio. There's one stoplight. I dated a girl years ago, and that's where her hometown was. She took me there for Halloween and like Christmas around that time.
What is it called?
Jackson Center.
Jackson Center.
Pretty sure that's what it's called.
Yeah.
It's in Ohio. It's very small. Very, very small.
It has a population of 1,400. Not 1,000. 100.
I'm telling you, there was one traffic light in the whole damn town.
I see the traffic light. It's at the intersection of the two main roads.
Yep. I think her family lived off that main road.
You can't live anywhere else.
Nah, you had to drive like close to Jackson Center. Dayton was about an hour and a half away. Cincinnati also about 2 hours away. But one traffic light, they had a Subway, and they had a local mom and pop's pizza joint that everybody went to, and they had, and the pizza joint was also the local bar, and that's all they had.
I've got a few.
Okay.
A quick note about Jackson Center.
Yeah.
If you guys are, you know about Airstreams?
Yeah.
Vaguely. Okay.
That's the only that's where the Airstream plant is. It's an RV. Airstreams. That's where the plant is located.
It's yeah, I see it as the one significant point on the map of Jackson Center. All right, Brandon. So you said you got a couple.
Yeah. So you said you never really done the Northeast.
No.
Well, we went to Gettysburg one time. Gettysburg is okay. Like it was interesting.
It has name value.
It was interesting. But while we were up there, we also went to this place called Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania.
That's a city.
Yeah, and it's near a place called Intercourse.
Oh,
Pennsylvania.
I was looking at the map the other day and saw both of those towns.
And it's Amish country. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Horse and buggy and all that good stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Did you like Gettysburg?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
It was boring to me.
Yeah.
There was a Mexican restaurant there though. It was BYOB. That was interesting.
A couple more.
New York and Boston. But I don't, and not like in my later years. Well, New York, but nothing really much else.
Some more on the West Coast trip. Gallup, New Mexico. Terrible place.
Ugh.
Nothing there. Kingman, Arizona. And then Weed, California.
You've been there?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, there's not much there.
I would like to add to the West. I've been to Redlands, California. My buddy lived there. It's not really much there. It's close to like San Bernardino and San Diego, but it's another like small, dry, hot town.
Weed is not that. Weed is it's an old logging town. There's one restaurant, and it's like an old cafe type thing.
I like the sound of this.
Not much there. I mean, it was a cool place, but we were there for like 3-4 days, and it's just. Yeah.
I used to work at a summer camp in a city called Van, Texas, and I have probably spent over my whole lifespan, I have probably spent, I don't know, close to over 60 weeks living in the city of Van. And Chance, it sounds like the Jackson Center place that you had talked about. It's barely bigger, has a population of 2,500 pretty much, and essentially has two roads. It's got a Lowe's and a Chewy's, and that's it.
Yeah, Jackson Center was
And
so
I
small.
Spent so much time there of my life. There was just nothing to do.
Yeah, there was nothing to do in Jackson Center, and I'll say this was 2017, and I'm not trying to be that person, but they hadn't seen many people of color as well.
Jackson Center of Ohio needs to diversify a little bit.
Yeah. Personally, I've been a ton of places, like mostly in the south, southeast area.
Yeah, that's where I've done my traveling as well.
But I think I've had a good time everywhere I've been. I enjoy everywhere I go. I think it's just me instead of the town. But I had to choose like a place I didn't like that much, maybe Dayton, Ohio, there was not a lot there. I mean, sure. I still had fun, but...
Poor Ohio.
Or like... I know. Lillington, North Carolina, I spent a day in this past summer, and it was like 103 degrees, and like you couldn't get cell phone service in half the town.
Let me ask you this, and this is a question for everybody, because I know we've all been to plenty. What is your favorite college campus you have traveled to? Including UT.
I've been working on a top three in the SEC for a while.
Uh-huh.
And
Are you ready to reveal it? Because if you want to wait for a big reveal, you know, I don't want to make you say it now.
I'll go ahead and say it.
Okay.
Number one, Starkville, Mississippi, Mississippi State.
Really?
Excellent town, great bar scene, just a nice feel to it. You just feel warm and warm when you're there. It's just, I love Starkville.
Okay.
Number two, Columbia, Missouri.
Ah, that was, yeah.
Weirdly, a lot of fun.
Sneaky good.
Like, sneaky fun.
Great.
And then tied for third, you got either Gainesville, which I had bad expectations for and ended up having a blast. It was a great town.
Okay.
The women were great. The men were kind of weird, so it worked out nice and on that front. And then Auburn. Auburn was a lot of fun, too.
I've heard really good things about Auburn. I've only traveled through it for a split minute, but I very much agree with Missouri. Like, Missouri was the one college campus that I toured where I was like, you know, and just kind of spent a weekend or two there with my cousin and was just like, man, I love everything about this campus. Like, I'm sure it got way too cold for me eventually, but I loved it. It was fantastic.
The drive from here to Missouri is one of the worst drives of all time.
Yeah.
But Missouri was awesome. My least favorite SEC town so far, I've been to like 10 of them.
Yeah.
I would say, weirdly, Tuscaloosa. I hated it. I've hated it every time I've
been
there.
It's the absolute worst.
It's just a weirdly, like... laid out place,
yeah,
I feel
it's
like.
Awful.
It wasn't fun.
Very surprised you said Starkville, but I'm also not kind of surprised. I didn't like tour any of these campuses. Like, I haven't been to a lot of college campuses, but I liked Southern California. I mean, that's probably an easy one, but it was really cool.
Oh, I bet. I bet that's just incredible. Brandon, any stick out to you? Any places for good or bad that you've traveled to?
I mean, as far as like a game day experience, I didn't really care for South Carolina all
that much.
That's
the one I was just about to ask you about. Well, was that any good?
I didn't like it because like their stadium is so far away from everything. There's nothing around their stadium, so it's just kind of hard to.
Wait, what school?
It's like Texas A&M too. Well,
I like South Carolina.
Maybe not.
Like the whole. Fairground area outside the stadium. You had like the cool stuff with the trains. There's some cool like little breweries close to the stadium. I thought the tailgating scene was a lot of fun.
I don't know. It may not have been popping when we were there, but
traffic is the worst.
There was nobody on those damn trains.
I think
there was everybody on the trains when I was there.
I think for me, like I was spoiled by what Tennessee gave me, and I just could never imagine being in a college campus where. You know, you aren't just walking around pretty much at any point you can see the football stadium. Like, I loved having that about – that was my favorite part of the whole campus because we do really have – I think we have the best campus in the whole ICC. But one of the main reasons is because you do have the mecca of college football right there in the center of your whole campus. And I've always thought that's one of the coolest things. That even kind of goes back to the pro stadiums conversation that we had, right? About what kind of the cities that can have their – huge pro football stadium right there in the middle of the city. It just adds a little bit more. I don't know. Interesting conversation. We got one more segment left on the show today. and we will end with a good one. I can promise you that. Don't go anywhere. This is The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.
They say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Son, never mind them brakes.
All right, final segment of The Blitz here. We got to run to make. On Fan Run Radios, we just got a couple more minutes left in the show. Talk Sports is on the way, and they got a great show as well. But gentlemen, let's close it out like we always do here with a little bit of If You Haven't Heard. And I got a quick one. Doesn't need much saying. Talked about it a second ago. But if you haven't heard, the Dougs saga continues with the University of Tennessee. As in case you've missed that over the last 48 hours, you might have been living under a rock that the first game was a successful win. So more publicity, more great branding comes to Tennessee each night with this thing going on. It's fun to watch. So we're 1-0 so far. We'll take it.
You got it, Brandon?
If you haven't heard, Scottie Pippen is, quote, beyond livid.
Wow!
Beyond livid.
Oh!
Over the way he was treated in the documentary, says ESPN 1000's David Kaplan.
Whoa.
He is so angry at Michael and how he was portrayed, called selfish, called this, called that, that he's furious that he participated and did not realize what he was getting himself into, Kaplan said.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay, here's one thing that I've really realized. We always talk about that quote that Michael Jordan had, right? I'm scared that people will look at me differently. The only people who it seems like are really looking at him differently after this are his teammates, are the people who played with him. This is when we're getting, you know, actual stories like this coming out. Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, I think there's been more. But, like, some of these stories have come out since and been like, man, there is something fishy.
Kaplan continued, said he felt like up until the last few minutes of Game 6 against the Jazz, it was just bash Scottie, bash Scottie, bash Scottie.
Well, and remember when, you know, they certainly really focused on the part where he quit on the team when Michael wasn't there.
This is what happens when you get a, air quotes, documentary about Michael Jordan made by Michael Jordan. It's not a real documentary.
You might be right. You've kind of kept that take for this whole time, and some of these stories coming out afterwards have proven that. Chance, do you have any quick thoughts on Pippen? Because I definitely want to talk about this tomorrow. Pippen was one of the big guys, so I'm interested in this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has, you know, he has a valid point that he was portrayed a little bit, you know, in a bad light, because he was MJ's, you know, right-hand man. He was, at one point, he was the second-best player in the league, and he made a lot of sacrifice, so I can understand it. But I also think that they all know how he was. Like, they talked about how petty he was, how competitive he was. So
sure,
it really shouldn't have been that much of a surprise. And like BJ Armstrong, to be the best, you can't be nice. You can't.
Man, there are so many layers to that team, and it's crazy that we get to see it unfold in 2020,
nice,
too.
Nice has never won championships. I'll put it that way.
Well, yeah, but I think it's different when they were playing. And I think Scottie's thing is how he was portrayed
made
in the documentary, and how Michael Jordan made him look or come across in the documentary. I don't know.
Hey, if you haven't heard, Will Carroll, he is a drummer in the heavy metal band Death Angel.
Never heard of her.
He got coronavirus
who day is.
And was put in a coma. And he worships Satan, conveniently. And he says in his coma, he was visited by Satan. And now he says, I don't think Satan is quite as cool as I thought he used to be. It was like I was in hell, and coming out of the coma, I escaped, and now he no longer worships Satan.
Well, that's terrific.
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
There is positivity in that story at the very end.
At least he escaped and doesn't worship Satan any longer. That's great news. What a positive way to end the story, Charlie.
What a positive way to end the show right there on that note.
Satan worshiping.
Oh, man, it's been a fun day. Hey, hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully you learned something along the way. We got a great recruit today. or actually yesterday. We'll celebrate it today, and we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. But until then, Talk Sports is coming up next. Do not change the radio dial. Don't exit out of the stream, because they got a great show coming up next. But for that, for Charlie Collier, for Chance Collins, for Brandon Orrick, I'm Rick Butler. You've been listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. Everywhere you go.